Welcome to the Full of Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 9:30 Greenwich Mean Time. Today is November 28th. Today was a very mixed day in capital markets generally. In Asia this morning, the Shanghai A-share market extended its decline and is now looking, it's extending this medium-term downtrend. The progression of lower rally highs is still evident, and while there is considerable value on a fundamental basis, the market is in need of a catalyst in order to shake bullish demand out of its slumber. And the 2008 low represents a potential area of support. In Japan, the yen has weakened considerably in the last 2 weeks, but it was a bit oversold in the short term, and it has rallied somewhat in the last couple of days. And the Nikkei, which had bounced very emphatically, is now unwinding a short-term overbought condition, and it was down 1.2% in here today. What we have seen is perhaps with the yen a little bit of a jumping of the gun, because we have the election coming up in the next few weeks, and while that is likely to return an LDP government and the new prime minister, which is likely to be Mr. Noda, will appoint someone that is sympathetic with his views on monetary policy, that probably won't happen until April. So there is significant potential for the yen to decline from here over the medium term. In the short term, there's probably a relief rally is warranted at this stage. But the area of the 200-day moving average is likely to be a sounding board, particularly for those that are bullish of the dollar. And provided the dollar finds support in the region of its 200-day moving average, we can continue to give the benefit of the doubt to the upside for the dollar. In the rest of Asia, the Malaysian market, which has fallen on consecutive days for nearly 3 weeks, and is actually, this was going to be, it's already had four consecutive weeks to the downside, found support in at the first area of potential support in here today, and there is room for an additional bounce from here. And the Filipino market was particularly strong, and the Filipino peso is one of the stronger currencies in the region. And that bears out a theme that has been running in Asia now for a number of years, in that some of the better performing stock markets generally tend to have some of the better performing currencies as well. And from the perspective of a foreign investor, then you get the additional bonus of having an appreciating currency and an appreciating stock market. The Indonesian market is a bit of an exception, because while it had a key reversal yesterday and it was reasonably steady in here today, the rupiah hasn't been weakening much, but it has been weakening over much of the last year, and it would be much more encouraging if we had a firmer tone for the currency. In Australia this morning, the ASX was weaker by about 0.2%, and it hasn't been hit nearly as hard as some of the other resources markets, but just like every other market, we've had a good bounce over the last week. And the question now for markets in Asia and in Europe, and indeed on Wall Street, and is to what extent they can hold this powerful rally that we've had in the last 10 days. And Canada is a really interesting example, because it has rallied rather emphatically over the last 2 weeks, and it's come right up to the underside of the overhead trading range, and it pulled back rather sharply yesterday, and it was a bit steadier in here today. And whereas we're presented with this grave uncertainty about the prospects for the fiscal cliff to be resolved favorably, and there's this great degree of uncertainty, what we've seen in stock markets is that we've had some increased volatility, and there are still wonderful opportunities out there over the medium term. But in the short term, what we need to see is that these markets find support above the lows that were posted just after the US election. And if they continue to do that, we can give the benefit of the doubt to the medium-term upside. However, if they decline from current levels and extend their corrective phases, then it's reasonable to say that the progression of higher major reaction lows that have been evident since 2009 for most stock markets will have been broken, and we could be in for a much deeper correction. But at present, the action is reasonably favorable. And when we look at the commodity complex, gold sold off really quite aggressively just after the London fixing this afternoon. And it closed out the day down $23, and that was $13 off the low. And there had been a short-term overbought condition evident in gold following the impressive rally, and provided it continues to hold the progression of higher reaction lows that it has been posting for much of the last few months, we can continue to give the benefit of the doubt to the upside. And I wonder at this stage, is this the type of area where people who missed out on the earlier advance might start to becoming interested as it comes back towards $1,700? And platinum pulled back also rather sharply today. It finished down 13 and it was as low as 1583 earlier on. And I was stopped out of my long position, and I'll be looking to pick it up again if we see any kind of additional weakness. Silver was down by about 29 cents and a bit less volatile. And palladium, which was as low today as $646, actually finished up on the day and closed out at $675. And that's really very impressive indeed. Palladium has had one of the bigger rallies, certainly in percentage terms, among the precious metals. Elsewhere in the commodity complex, lumber was limbered up in here today and got right up to touch $339. And that represents the upper side of what has been a two-year consolidation. And when one looks at lumber prices on a 10-year basis, then this is has been a lengthy consolidation and a sustained move back above 340, and most particularly above 350, would reaffirm the medium-term uptrend, and that would be quite impressive. And it is interesting that whereas other high-yielding shares really had quite a difficult time of it over the last few weeks, the lumber REITs have been reasonably steady. And they offer some of the more attractive yields. And I wonder, is that because they have a somewhat more favorable tax treatment than some other higher yielding sectors? And of those sectors that have pulled back sharply, utilities in the USA represent a rather interesting case. And when one looks at a company like Southern Corp, which had been trending so remarkably consistently, then pulled back from earlier this year and was ranging in the region of the 200-day moving average and then really broke emphatically below it in the last 6 weeks. And it is currently yielding about 4%. And that's a situation that's common to the utility sector generally. And because there has been this focus on higher yielding shares over the last few years, and because people have accumulated profits in that sector, the ones that where people have accumulated the greatest profits have been where they have had the opportunity to take those profits and avail of a lower than anticipated, or sorry, a lower capital gains tax than they would anticipate to pay in January. So, having had a bit of a flush out, one has to question now whether these types of sectors represent value. And Apple is another case in point, where it fell over $200 and found support in the region of $500. And such has been the speed of the decline that some time is likely to be required for support to be built and faith to be restored. So we've had a very emphatic bounce by Apple, and the chances are that we're in for some ranging. And that is probably to the good, considering the speed with which it had gone up previously. And in treasuries, the US 30-year was as high as 151.25 and gave up almost the entire advance as Wall Street rallied into the close. So while these treasuries have held on to the majority of their gains, to really see yields compress even further, we would need to see quite a significant deterioration in the perceptions of how successful these negotiations are likely to be. And the uncertainty in the US is really one of the really big issues out there at present. When we look at China, they've gone through their leadership transition, and we're now waiting to see what the new administration is going to do. And in Japan, the election is coming closer, but we know who's going to win at this stage already. There isn't a great deal of uncertainty. And with Europe yesterday releasing so much more additional money and easing the terms of the bailout for Greece, that would suggest that despite the politics and the brinksmanship that has been going on between various member states and factions, that the policy is to support the euro and to support the cohesion of the European Union. And it does suggest that we are past the nadir for the European crisis. And while recovery and a move back to self-sustaining growth is probably quite a long way away, the capacity for it to shock is being reduced in here. So when we look at the wider market and we look at all the things that people have been expressing a great deal of anxiety about, then the number and the intensity of anxiety that a number of these issues have prompted is beginning to reduce, and the great unknowable now is what is exactly going to happen in the USA. And that's a recipe for volatility, at least for the next few weeks. But once resolved, one way or the other, there'll be a great deal of money sitting on the sidelines, and it will need to get put back to work. And if people are going to pay an additional tax, then there is not a great deal that people can do about it. So once the uncertainty is removed, there is the capacity that we're going to have a substantial rally. And the US dollar reflects this uncertainty and the volatility that we've had, and the fact that it has paired its decline. The euro paired its decline in here today, and that the dollar has firmed against some currencies and other currencies have firmed substantially against the dollar puts it very much in the middle of the road. And whereas over the last few years a large number of people have considered the dollar to be just about the weakest currency around, that's certainly no longer the case. And when one looks at how the Swedish krona has pulled back rather sharply and the Norwegian crown over the last few days, and whereas people were writing off the euro, it has firmed in here and is holding here at 129. And that's close enough to the upper side of what has been now a three-month range. So there still remains a great deal of uncertainty with regard to how the major currencies are unfolding. But when one looks at the Asian dollar index, it looks more likely than not that it is going to be able to sustain a breakout from here. And if not in the short term, almost certainly in the medium term. And in the meantime, when we look at these markets, the really big question now is to what extent they're going to be able to hold the rally that we've had in the last couple of weeks. And I think we would have to give the benefit of the doubt that they are going to be able to hold the majority. And I think with that, I will leave you for the evening and wish all the best to all of you.